It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live for the Build 4 Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the fans, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are on the free Odyssey app, good Monday morning. Hopefully you made it through Mother's Day. You made your wife, you made your mother, all the mothers in your life happy. You didn't get into a fight. You didn't disappoint. And today is a good day for you. And hopefully it is a good night for the Knicks, because Saturday was not. Saturday was as ugly as it gets. There was no comeback happening. You could tell that the Celtics from the get-go in this game were different because they were hitting those threes, and they were hitting them early and often. So this is not a time to give up. This is not a time to jump ship. This is not a time to be negative. But there is no doubt that the Celtics flexed their muscles on Saturday in a way that struck some fear in the fan base, but you washed that off you on Sunday, and we are back at the Garden. Let's win a game at home, for God's sakes. Take a 3-1 lead and then really paint them in a corner. You got to flush it, Boomer. That's what they say. Flush those losses. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
You know, you are exactly right, Jay. You do have to flush it, and quite frankly, you talk about a disappointing performance. I mean, given the ticket prices, given the excitement, given the expectations, given the fact that they won their first two games in Boston, it was about as flat as you could ever expect the team to be at home, especially, you know, Jalen Brunson played poorly. He had an off game, much like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown had off games in the first two games. He was just off. I mean, you could just see it with the way he was handling the ball, the couple of the turnovers, the one pass he tries to throw on a give and go. Just impossible for Ananobi to get the ball. I mean, it's just, he was out of sorts for whatever reason. But I will say the biggest problem that the Knicks have right now, in my eyes, and this goes back to even the games that they won in games one and two, is that they're chasing the game the entire game.
Yeah.
And it takes so much energy to come back from that. I mean, you take a look at, you know, game one, they were down 16 points at halftime. Game two, they were down 9 points at halftime. Game three, they were down 25 points at halftime. I mean, you can't continue to play this way. And really what it highlights the piss poor starts that they're going through. And, you know, on Saturday, it was like the first four possessions were like, are they too nervous? I mean, like, what's going on? Like, we're not answering what Boston had to offer. And yeah, Boston hit 20 out of 40 threes. The Knicks only hit 5 out of 25 threes. Boston has better shooters. We know that going into this series, their shooters were off the first couple of games. And I would tell you that while Jason Tatum had a much better game than he did in game one and game two, and Jaylen Brown a much better game than he had in game one and game two, I think Kristaps Porzingis added more. Pritchett added more. This is the first time that I'm sure somewhere along the line this year, this was the case. But every single Knick starter was minus 21 or worse in this game. That's how bad this game really was. And it's unfortunate because the Garden looked like it was packed, and it was loud. It was energized. And I've been there as a Ranger fan and a Knick fan and have left there disappointed like everybody did on Wednesday before. I mean, on Saturday before, in other playoff series, but that's what playoff series are. They are ups and downs. And now, if you ask me, what the Knicks need, if they need to do what the Pacers did last night or yesterday, they need to come back and show that, you know, that they can hang with this team, because, you know, the Pacers just ran the Cavaliers right out of the building yesterday.
Yeah, they've been dealing with their injury issues, and hopefully the Knicks are not. The Karl-Anthony Towns finger thing is something now, as he's asked about it after the game, and he's asked point blank, is it broken? And he goes, it is what it is. He's like, well, does that mean it's broken? He's like, I'm not going to say anything. You know, I'll let them tell you.
Well, it's on his left hand, so, you know, he's a right-handed shooter. And
I just don't want any excuses now with this stuff. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Stay healthy for once. If we're going to go down, let's go down healthy, not like last year. I hated to see that part of it. But it's one of the weirder series so far that I've ever watched, because the Knicks have barely led. I mean, they really have led.
They're not outplaying the Celtics.
5% of these games they've had a lead in. And when they're down, they're getting their asses whooped, and they're still up two games to one in the series.
You want to know why the NBA game itself sucks?
Well, especially in the regular season.
No, it does suck because it's all three-pointers. And then in the case of what the Celtics are doing to the Knicks, and I would do the same thing as the Hakimich. It just sucks. That's not basketball. There's no flow to it. It's a game of threes, and then it's a game of, like, Joe Mazzulla decided, hey, we're just going to hack this kid, and he can't hit free throws, and everybody feels bad for him. Everybody knows it. And, you know, when you look at the Knick bench compared to the Celtics bench, you say to yourself, you know, that there's no shot there. There's, you know, the Knicks haven't outscored the bench for the Celtics. I don't believe in this series. And, you know, you have a legitimate kid like Pritchard coming off the bench, and Kristaps Porzingis, who played his best game in the series. Maybe he's feeling a little bit better. But, you know, it is the Knicks are not as good as the Celtics. And in order to beat the Celtics, they have to be on and the Celtics have to be off. And that's as simple as it gets. I mean, that's the NBA in a nutshell.
Well, especially with the Celtics. Now, the Pistons series was different. I mean, definitely the three-pointer had a lot to do with it, as it does in every series, but not like this.
Yeah, because they didn't have shooters like Indiana has. They don't have shooters like Cleveland has. They don't have shooters like OKC
but
has.
Yeah, it's not every team, but it's certainly the Celtics in the way that they play. I mean, they won a championship with their three-point shooting last year. We've seen what the Golden State Warriors have done, built a dynasty based on great three-point shooting. So, yeah, I mean, when the Celtics are off, that's the only chance you have to beat them is when they can't hit threes.
You know, it's amazing. Sometimes I was watching Tatum a little bit on Sunday, just trying to isolate on him to see where he goes on the basketball court.
He just stays right back
he
there.
He barely goes underneath a three-point line. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how far the top of the three-point line is to the other side. Right. How far is that, do you know?
Is that
30 feet?
Yeah, but he's it's almost like he's got
it's
like...
It's got to be like 40 feet. It's got to be like 40 feet in between the two, I'm thinking.
He's got like one of those invisible fences on, you know, where the dogs can't go past a certain thing.
I'm like, this guy does not sweat at all.
No.
I mean, and it's just... This is where I'm going. This is where I'm going on offense, and this is where I'm going on defense. And then maybe every fourth or fifth possession that we'll have on offense, maybe I'll take it to the hole and I'll jam it.
Yeah, I feel like it.
It really. I mean, it doesn't. I know it's intense, and I know the guys are playing hard. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that the 3-point game, if they're off, the Knicks win. If they're on, the Knicks don't have a chance.
Yeah, and it was just, I mean, the game had, I know that the Garden was fired up in the beginning, but I mean, you were thinking, oh, maybe there's a chance that they can come back again, but you really didn't even get a chance to get started in that place on Saturday, which is a shame, and you're right. I mean, you make the choice to buy the tickets, especially when they're that expensive, and you know there's no guarantee of a win, but I mean, my God, imagine spending that much money going to that game and just watching a team get walloped from tip to buzzer.
The other player that actually had more of an impact in this game than he did on the first two games is Al Horford. You know, he was 3-for-4 from 3 points. He had 15 points. He had 9 rebounds. So he was a little bit, you know, better and more involved than he was in the previous two games as well. So, I mean, the Knicks are up 2-1. They got to win game 4 tonight. And it's still not over. And I think it was Jaylen Brown who said it after the game on Saturday. He was like, hey, man, you got to win 4 games. That's right. You got to win 4 games. All right. Yeah, it's very disappointing on Saturday. But, you know, this Knicks team has heart, just like the Celtics have a champion's heart. This Knicks team has heart. I look forward to seeing it again tonight. I think they'll be much better. I just can't imagine. I mean, and you remember what I was saying before this started, that Thibodeau has to use his timeouts judiciously. Mm-hmm. Has to figure out where the runs are happening and how to stop the momentum if he could. You know, he didn't do that on Saturday at all. And then the whole Hakimich thing is just becoming ridiculous now.
Yeah, I mean, it's a yip situation, another air ball from him. It's certainly in his head, and it's different when he's probably practicing in the gym and nobody around, and he gets out there. I mean, it's tough, and you know he's given maximum effort. He's not the only big man who's had to struggle with this, but it's on display. I mean, there's no two ways about it. He's still one of the two-plus players in the series for the Knicks, Deuce McBride.
Which is amazing. But, you know, they're not out there as much. I mean, they could be minus, and he could be minus if he played a lot more. But the free throw thing is killing them, and this is the number one thing that they're going to have to figure out this offseason.
Let me ask you, would you consider starting him?
I would. I definitely would, and I would definitely think about bringing Josh Hart off the bench.
Yeah, I mean, and the reason I say that is, all right, yes, all 4 quarters are equal, yada, 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 but they're really not in basketball. But if you put him out there in the beginning of the game, then you're not as prone to get the Hack-a-Mitch thing as you're farther away from the bonus. Plus, you're getting off to these horrendous starts. He's one of the few guys that the Knicks are actually outscoring the Celtics when he's on the floor. Let's get off to a good start.
Which is amazing given his free throw shooting.
Yes, right, exactly. Makes it even more impressive. So, I don't know. I would set a tone and put him out there in the beginning of the game because, obviously, you know, Tibbs and his starters are a match made in heaven. Those five guys are out there the entire time. I get it. But, I mean, there has to be an adjustment made, especially with the way that Mitch has played outside of the free throw line.
You know, what's amazing is that, you know, Josh Hart, when he got here, he was a guy that came off the bench.
Yeah.
Until there was injuries and there was no other choice but to play him. And, you know, and God bless him because he gives you everything he has every single game. And we love him and respect him. But there may be something that Tibbs can do here. I don't know if he'll do it. I don't know if that would probably be drastic. I don't know if Josh Hart even buy into it. That's the whole thing.
Well, I think that Josh Hart's not a guy that I worry about buying in because he's always has. You know, he's whatever he's been asked to do. And I just think it would be an obvious choice. I mean, it's not something you have to defend. It's not something that is insane. It's like, just all right, when this guy's out there, we play better defense and we outscore the other team. When you guys are out there, you're minus 21. It's the first time in NBA history, as you mentioned. Yeah. We got five starters that are minus 20 or worse in a playoff game. So this is what we need to do. Plus, by the way, when he's out there on the floor early on in the game, unless he's going up for a shot, he's not going to get to the free throw line like he would once you're in the bonus towards the end of quarters, towards the end of halves. So, I mean, it's just something I think would help. It's something different. I mean, you don't normally, when you're up 2-1 and at home, wanting to make adjustments. You're usually the team that has been in control, but the Knicks haven't. So it's something that I would consider, and I wouldn't say that it would be drastic at all. But he seems to be able to not let the free throw stuff affect the rest of his game. I mean, he's still out there doing the things he does, but if he could ever step up there and start knocking those things down, man, Knicks would be a different team.
Well, it's not going to happen overnight.
No, it's not going to happen ever.
If anything, he would have to work on it in the offseason. You know, you read all these articles about having this guy come in, that guy come in. You know, it's too late now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're in a season. He's struggling. We all see it. Everybody feels terrible for him. And there's nothing worse than that. And I just, when he throws that air ball up on Saturday, you know, they're still in the first quarter. This is what I'm talking about, chasing a game. Mm-hmm. This is where the game is now becoming a game that is out of reach.
Yeah.
It was 37-20 at that point. The Celtics come down. You know, it's just now all of a sudden you're chasing a game again. And to credit Joe Mazzulla for doing this and for trying to put him on the line, because they know that every time he's on the line, that's a possession where very few points, if any points, are going to be scored.
Yeah, of course. And we saw in the beginning, J.B. Bickerstaff did it with the Pistons, and now Mazzulla's taking it to a different level. But, I mean, it was almost like there was too much of an exhale from the Celtics and their fan base and everybody associated with them. Like, oh, you know, now we're fine. Now we're back. Now we're going to win the series. No,
man,
stop.
You won one game.
Come on.
I mean, and everybody's
Come on.
And everybody feels terrible about it because of what was going into this game and how many, even Mike Breen was saying, this is the most important game in the last 25 years.
Well, every game now is, because they've been so bad for so long. So, like, the next game is always the most important game. But, I mean, you could go back to late. They were in the second round last year.
But here's the point. I mean, you know, you got the Pacers just ripping through the Cavaliers, which is, you know, this is the team that beat the Knicks last year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Knicks, with all the changes they've made this offseason, and with, you know, Minnesota doing what Minnesota's doing now, And you got Nick players all over the place, whether it be Obi Toppin, Hartenstein. I mean, all these guys are all over the place on these other teams making plays. I don't know if you saw this play that Obi Toppin made yesterday. It was unbelievable.
I did not.
But it's just...
It was Mother's Day yesterday.
I know, but it's just... It goes to show you that even when you do make changes and you roll the dice and you go out and get guys that you think have championship DNA. And I do believe that Mikal Bridges has that. I do believe that Ananobi has that. I know that Hart and Brunson have that. I don't know about Karl-Anthony Towns just yet. But this is a resilient bunch. I am not down on them. I am not negative on them. They had a bad game on Saturday. I think nerves played a big part of it early in this game. I felt like the first 10 minutes of this game, they were wiped out. I think you and I were texting, in the third quarter?
Yeah.
I said, this game is over.
Yeah.
And you, to your credit, said, no, it's not. They're going to have a great fourth quarter comeback.
Yeah, I said, we need another miracle finish, and we're going to get it. We did not get it.
No.
So.
No. I mean, you weren't going to get it. You could just see, the Celtics were completely on defense. They were great. And I think I felt like they amped up the defense on Brunson, and he didn't handle it very well.
Well, hopefully the Celtics relax now because they think that they've won the series here because the way everybody was reacting after this one, I know the Celtics themselves weren't this way, but it was as if, the series was over. All the Celtics had to do was win that one game, blow out the Knicks. Now everything's all right in their world. No, you could still go up 3-1. You still have a home game. I agree with you. There was something off. Whether it was nervousness or whatever it was, playing tight early in this game at home, which makes no sense.
Nervousness is tight,
and I know it doesn't make any sense at home. It drives you crazy.
But you also can't give up 71 points and a half. I mean, that's insane.
Of course.
I mean, so as soon as they hit 60. Yeah. What was it, 63, I think they hit, or 64. I was like, this game is over.
Yeah.
There's just no way that the Knicks are going to be able to come back from this kind of deficit going into halftime and expect to win the second half or either one of those quarters by, you just look at it, you say, there's just no way. They weren't shooting good enough. They had a horrendous three-point shooting night. So they had their bad game. They had the game that, Boston had in game one and game two. So let's hopefully they come back and they improve and they maybe Tibbs will make an adjustment or two because the Hakimich thing is killing him.
Yep, it definitely is. So ugly day on Saturday, but the great thing about this is you got another opportunity tonight to take a 3-1 lead in the series. Jerry joins us just a couple minutes.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this Monday morning. Game 4 tonight at the Garden. Obviously, Saturday was a wipeout, so we are looking forward to a better performance. Jerry Recco is here. He's got a sports update for us. What's up, Jerry?
Hi, good morning. So a couple of things from that Game 3. Mikal Bridges talking about how the real Celtics showed up on Saturday, at least for one game. They were in attendance.
That's who they are. And they knew it was going to be tough, especially. And, I think we might have let human nature get to us a little bit. But I think they just came out more urgent, knowing that they're down.
And that was essentially what Josh Hart was saying as well.
You can play with enough urgency, enough physicality, give them credit.
And you shot like crap. I mean, you were
five for 25 from three.
Yeah, so you had your off day, and Jalen Brunson had an off day. I knew late in the game when Jason Tatum's running in there for a layup. He's got the breakaway layup, and Jalen Brunson's following him right here, this one. There's no reason to foul him, Just why are you fouling him?
Well, if you're going to foul him, then don't let him get the layup.
Exactly. I mean, so they just had, a really off game. Everybody had an off game. And even though Jalen's 27 points, whatever it was, most of that stuff came in late or not even that late because he didn't score, the last almost, 6 minutes of the fourth quarter. That's not who the Knicks are. So the Knicks had their terrible game, just like Boston had two terrible games up in Boston.
Game 4 tonight. Game 5 will be Wednesday in Boston. Meantime, the other game in the East. How about the Pacers taking it to Cleveland? And I mean taking it to them.
Into the forecourt, Nesmith. Turner is feeling it. And why not? Why not? Why not? A three from 2 miles away. Out on the left side. This cannot possibly be happening.
It is absolutely insane what's going on in this building right now.
A 41-point lead.
80-39 at the half.
Yeah, so Donovan Mitchell didn't play in the second half of this game.
Ankle injury.
They got hammered. Donovan Mitchell, I think, was minus 39 in this game or something.
35, I think. 35. Yeah. And, of course, he tried to come out, warm-ups before the third quarter. Then he doubled over in pain. He went back into the locker room. They said he was doubtful to return. Never did, of course.
Guess what? You know what this
means? MRI today.
You know what this means? They're cooked.
Yeah, it feels like it, right?
Oh. Here's Kenny Atkinson. So how did you, how did that happen exactly?
Complete domination by them is really, it's kind of the story, kind of in every facet. It wasn't tactics or anything involved. They dominated us in every facet of the game.
That's not what you want to hear. Here's Rick Carlisle. It's nice, a 3-1 lead. Yes, we won by a lot. The final was 129-109, and it wasn't that close. But he also says, let's all relax.
We haven't done anything yet. We're a pretty significant underdog in every game we've played in this series, and that will continue.
Unless you can't play, in which case you would not think that would be the case. Mitchell, the ankle injury, you mentioned the MRI. Obi Toppin, the old Nick pal, had 20 points in this game. And so a 3-1 series lead for Indiana. Meantime, the Thunder played the Nuggets looking to even things up. And you want to talk about bad shooting? The two teams in this game were a combined 21 of 86 from three-point range. Neither shot
well. The game
well.
Sucks because of
I
that.
Agree.
I'm just telling you, it's a brutal game because of this three-point line.
I agree. And
makes it too easy.
Yep.
Shea off the inbound, left corner. Played by Brown. Swooping left to right into the paint. Spins and fades over the right shoulder. The 16-foot jumper, nothing but net. Gildas Alexander, a big shot. He scored the last two Thunder buckets. Has 23 in game four, and OKC's up 5, 83-78.
Well, he finished with 25, a really good finish to this game, and the Thunder win 92-87, even up the series at 2-2. Nikola Jokic at 27-13 in the loss, but he shot 7 of 22, had 0 offensive rebounds. And, yes, a very poor shooting night. So all even the first four games of that series. All right, the baseball story from the weekend. Good weekend for both teams, actually. Mets and the Yankees taking 2 of 3 from the A's and the Cubs. We start in Sacramento, where the Yankees beat, I guess we don't even call them Oakland or Sacramento. They're just the Athletics.
Yeah, that's right.
Is all they're called right now.
3-1. Rice drives it. Whoa. Deep right field. Way back and goodbye. A grand slam for Ben Rice blows it open. Yankees having fun in Sacramento. They got a 10-1 lead. What a shot by Ben Rice.
It was Emmanuel Babari.
You can sit on my face.
All right, great.
I'll never get old.
Dave Sims taking off already? Is he sick or something? What's going on?
He missed the weekend.
It probably was a scheduled
Mother's Day, maybe?
Could have been that. Oh, and the fact that it's, you know, Sacramento. You're going to take a series off.
Oh, that's a good team, though, the A's.
Yeah, but still, it's Sacramento.
I mean, I know it's a minor league park, but it looked kind of fun.
Oh, this is
people packed out there in the
remember the A's owner. This is the weekend that they were waiting for.
Yeah,
Aaron Judge coming to town.
Right, make some money.
Yeah,
but I do we know what was going on with Dave Sims?
I don't.
By the way, Chris Majkowski, who celebrated his, how many games in a row?
5,000. Yeah.
He has to have surgery coming up, so the streak is going to end.
Or something. They mentioned yesterday that he's going to be out a few weeks.
Oh, yeah. No.
I know.
Okay.
Look at that.
Can't have surgery on a day off?
Touch the money, I guess.
Wow.
With the streak.
Wait till November.
Right. Hopefully it's nothing serious.
I hope not.
Yeah, they didn't give the details, but unfortunately, the streak's going to come to an end. One of the most impressive in baseball broadcast history.
You're not kidding. Well, the Yankees wound up winning 12-2. They scored 5 runs in the second, 5 in the fifth. That was the Ben Rice grand slam. It was his first of his career. He was with Susan afterwards.
Yeah, it's really cool. Yeah, I mean, it's cool to get something like that out of the way. Anytime you come up with a bases loaded situation like that, you're just looking to push some runs across, but a grand slam works too.
And then the Yankees are going to have a problem here now. Because you got Stanton's coming back. You got LeMahieu coming back. Mm. This guy has been great as a DH.
You know what they call this? Good problem to have.
That's not a good problem
until you
have.
Have the problem.
You know what? It's not a good problem to have.
I agree.
You don't want to take this guy out of the lineup.
Yeah, but I mean, you got multiple options.
Yeah, what are they?
You just listed them all.
What are they?
You just listed them all. LeMahieu and Stanton. I mean, you got everybody coming back.
But what I'm saying, okay, so LeMahieu's probably going to go to second base because Chisholm is still hurt.
Hmm.
Right? So now you got Stanton coming back with his bad elbows. What does he do? He plays DH. What does Ben Rice do? He plays DH. Neither one of them play third base, which is where they could use somebody.
Usually these things work themselves out, Boomer. You know?
That is May. True.
Early May.
If they take Ben Rice out of the lineup, they are idiots.
I don't think Aaron Boone's an idiot.
I don't think he's an idiot either, but they may tell him.
No,
we got Stanton.
Analytic geeks not going to. Come on. How could the analytic geeks have anything against Ben Rice the way he's playing?
What do you think, Jerry?
I think they will figure out a way to get him at bats. I was stunned that
get him at bats. He should be in the lineup every damn night.
I agree.
Especially when they play in Yankee Stadium and he's a lefty and he got that short porch thing that they keep talking about.
Well, the Mets have done it with Vientos and Beatty. Vientos hits home runs, he sits the next day. Beatty plays, hits home runs, sits the next day. And it's worked out. So maybe it'll work. Maybe Stanton can
get left. Yeah, but the point being is, that those two guys can actually play a position in the field.
For sure.
So Rice is not playing third base. I think he was a catcher at one point in time, I think. Stanton doesn't play the field anymore.
He does not.
And LeMahieu could play third base, but they'd rather have him play second base.
Is this a good time to do the...
Who's on first, Jerry?
I don't know.
Stanton injury pool, the next thing when he comes back, the next thing that knocks him on the
IL. I think he's got to come back first.
I agree. Okay. Here's what has to happen. You have to have a date for his return.
Yes. All right.
Then we do it.
Okay.
Sounds and then good. I'm taking flank.
Golf flank.
I'm taking flank, yes.
By the way, Aaron Judge was 4-for-5 on Sunday. Batting average back up over 400 to 409. He's got 39 RBIs. He did have a two-run single. Tonight, New York in Seattle. We'll have it on the fan with coverage at 9 p.m. As for the Mets, a little bit of a back-and-forth game in the late innings in New York with the biggest of hits.
3-1 the count. Here's the pitch. Breaking ball hit deep to right center field. Back near the wall. Back goes Tucker. She is gone. Francisco Lindor with his ninth home run of the year. And the Mets are leading by a score of 3-2.
Hi, I'm Howie Rose.
Holy
880 AM Mets Odyssey Radio with the call. Brandon Nimmo then capped the scoring with a two-run homer, and the Mets beat the Cubs 6-2, taking 2 of 3 in the series. Here was Lindor on Roku. That's where this game was yesterday, on the home run off of Porter Hodge.
I faced him yesterday, and I lost the battle, but I felt like I had to get a bat. I didn't square it up. So today was just a matter of just getting a good pitch to hit.
And that's exactly what he did. He hit it a long way. Griffin Canning doesn't factor in the decision because they had him 1-0 lead. He gave up the home run, came out of the game 1-1. The Mets took the lead 2-1, so he was in line for the win, but then you get the home run from Chicago to make it 2-2. But he pitched great in terms of yesterday. 6 innings, just the solo home run allowed and only 2 hits. Here was Canning, happy with your start.
Yeah, it was a good one. Feel pretty good about it. Just mixing it up, mixing speeds up, mixing pitches up, on the same page with Fui back there. Good defense, timely hitting, just a good team win.
And Louis is Luis Torrens, who was the catcher until he took a foul ball off the manhood parts.
Mm-hmm.
Had a lead. Francisco Alvarez came in to finish.
I guess they don't wear a cup.
I think he did. I think it just still got him. Here was Carlos Mendoza.
How's Torrens?
Better. Yeah.
Was he wearing a cup?
Oh, for sure. But, you know, it doesn't matter there now.
Nah. You know, what do you mean?
So yeah, I'm glad he was able to walk to the dugout. But yeah, he's in a better spot right now.
Oh, boy.
Listen, man, if you wear a cup and then that ball off the bat is still going, how fast do you think?
Fast enough.
I mean, and it hits you right in the ball sack, it's going to hurt.
Could you imagine if he wasn't wearing a cup?
He'd be in the hospital.
I told Al, I have a friend of mine who played with a guy in college, had an exploding testicle because of it.
Wow.
Took a ground ball short hop right to it. Like, it's not a joke. We had a guy that
had an inflamed scrotum sac because he got kicked there.
What, he didn't clean it or something? Or inflamed? Like,
no,
what
he
happened?
Got tackled. And somebody, I want to say it's the heel of somebody else that just came up and hit him right in there.
And it was all swollen for a while?
Like a grapefruit?
I mean.
Or like a baseball maybe size?
I mean, we went in at halftime and he showed us. I've never seen anything like that.
Really?
Okay. Not good for your testicles.
Mm. Vomit right
now. It was literally like the size of a well-grown coconut.
Well.
That seems a little large.
Thoughts and prayers to Luis Torrens.
He still has his testicles.
Mets 15-4 now at Citi Field this season. They are home for Pittsburgh tonight. David Peterson to start on 880 AM Mets Odyssey Radio at 7:10 PM. At Giants camp, I mean, it's rookie camp. It is what it is. But a lot of people seem very impressed by Jackson Dart opening his press conference Friday.
Before you guys ask a question, could you just introduce yourself for me just to put a face to name and all that? Appreciate y'all.
You ever do that?
No. I mean, I didn't want to know any of them. Okay. But believe me, after a couple of years, you get to know every single one of them.
Fair enough. Well, that's how he opened his.
Well, I mean, maybe this is the new thing to do now, which is good. He sounded great.
Yeah. Or he wants guys to have accountability. When you rip me, I want to know who you are.
You'll believe me. He'll know who.
He'll know. Of course.
Yeah, he probably already knows Gio. Has never met him, but he knows
I wasn't
him.
In town for that, so who knows? But somebody might have sent it to him.
You don't think he saw that on social media? Of course.
Someone might have sent it to him. One of those things.
And Abdul Carter wearing number 51. I'll have some audio from him coming up throughout the course of the morning. He was asked about why 51, and he said because it was available. And now he's going to make it his.
Somebody told him five of Lawrence Taylor and one of Phil Sims. So you got half of each of those numbers.
Okay.
There you go.
Well, we'll have that audio coming up. The Stars beat the Jets 5-2. They're up 2-1. The Panthers shut out the Maple Leafs 2-0. Series tied 2-2. And in golf, Sepp Straka won the Truist Championship, beating Justin Thomas and Shane Lowry by 2 shots. I will tell you.
Shane Lowry.
I watched the end of that Myrtle Beach one. That was on Golf Channel. There was a 3-way tie for a playoff. Two guys, of course, on the green in regulation. One guy's off. The guy that's off chips in and beats the other two in the playoff as the other two guys miss their putts.
Awesome.
So, yeah. So that was
I heard there was a very audible F word from Harry Higgs late in this. Did you see that?
It's possible. I don't know.
I was looking for
one of the three guys that was in the playoff. So.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Game 4 tonight, of course. The Knicks up 2-1 after a brutal performance on Saturday. Get those Knicks calls in now at 888-808-1019. We haven't talked to this guy in a while. He did call a couple months ago. He is someone we love. He is a breakdancing legend on Long Island. He is someone who's been trying to reach out to Elon Musk on social media for several months. I don't know if he has finally gotten a hold of him. But we love him. We love his sports takes, and we love his history on Long Island. And that is a great Popcorn Rob in Babylon. Popcorn, good morning. How you been, man?
Geo, hey, Boomer. How you doing, guys? Hey, listen,
great.
Man. Thanks for taking my call. And you guys are right, man. I love you guys. You know what? Man, we'll discuss that Elon Musk thing, man, in a little while, man. But they begging now. Anyway, you know what I'm going to say, Boomer? First and foremost, Josh Hart needs to come off of that bench. And I'm going to tell you why. First and foremost, you're getting too cute. When Julius Randle was here, he wasn't doing that tough stuff. Now he got Thibodeau nervous and all this other stuff. Because this is what they do to Thibodeau. They sit there and they get him nervous. They make sure that they want to be on the floor at all given time. Josh Hart was throwing up a lot of ill-advised shots, man. And it was disgusting the hell out of me. When he comes off that bench, he's good. Secondly, the Knicks are better on the road. I think that they have a better chance when they are on that road, man, because for the simple fact that when they get over there on that stage, Boomer, and we know how that stage is, man, where we start getting nervous and farting and doing all kind of crazy crap. And you know what I mean? Like, listen, Boomer. And when they get nervous like that, and they do not perform the way, you know, we're expecting for them to do, they're doing too much, man. And then secondly, I'm going to go to Shiloh because I was watching Atlanta, you know, giving a little, you know, basic run. And we already know that when you come out of the fifth round, that's not really nothing but an invitational tryout. It's really not. You drafting, you're being drafted. That's an invitational tryout.
Hey, popcorn, hold on for 1 second. You said Shiloh and you said Atlanta. It's Shiloh Sanders, if that's who you're talking about, is with Tampa.
Whoever he was with that. I know one thing, I seen a bird on their helmet, and I thought Shiloh was, giving a little tryout for Atlanta.
No. He's with Todd Bowles and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Right, okay, but okay.
Well, they have a pirate on their helmet.
Okay, I know that, Boomer, but what I'm saying is I could have sworn that I've seen the Atlanta Falcons emblem on the helmet. Nonetheless, the reason why I said that is because I seen him running some routes. And the way he was running those routes, man, you know, and I mean, obviously, you know, when you don't have a guy on you, when you don't have a defender, you can look real sweet. It's when you get out there on that field, and we want to see how you perform then.
Thanks, Popcorn. You're a little all over this place this morning.
Well, as
Shiloh's
always.
Shiloh's a defensive back. He's not an offensive wide receiver. Mm. So I don't know if he was thinking about Travis Hunter with the Jaguars.
Not sure what he was thinking about. I never know what he's thinking about. But his initial point there about the Knicks and being home and being better on the road, that is something that is interesting.
Obvious.
It's obvious, but I don't know the reasons why, really. It doesn't make any sense well, as to why.
So we've been saying this for years and years and years here. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, stars coming to Madison Square Garden, more often than not, they light it up because they want to light up. They're sick and tired of hearing about the Knicks. I could just imagine Joe Mazzulla talking to Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Kristaps and Al Horford saying, aren't you guys sick and tired of hearing about how great the Knicks are and Mr. Clutch and all this other crap? Mm-hmm. Let's go in there and let's hand them their ass. And that's exactly what they did. So now it's
Your ass.
So now it's up for Tibbs and for this team to make some adjustments or just play better in the first quarter, for God's sake, and keep the game within a couple points and go back and forth and stop forcing the issue. I mean, the other thing, too, let's face it, in the previous two games, how many open threes did Boston miss?
Oh, in the first two games? I'm
open threes.
It was insane. Yeah, the number was crazy.
You know, whole thing about, on-ball defenders and closing out.
That's right.
And defending
uncontested.
The three. Yeah, so how many uncontested shots did they miss?
Plenty,
yeah, yes. But in game three, how many uncontested shots did they miss?
Not a lot.
Very few.
Yeah. That's they're right there in a nutshell.
I mean, that's basketball. It's a make-or-miss league, G.
Yeah, I've heard that. Tom's in Corum. What's going on, Tom?
Good morning, guys. How you doing today?
Good, great, Tommy. What's happening?
Good. Gio, I called in on Friday and spoke with you and Jerry about, touching the money when you were fooling around with Boomer's jersey, okay?
I remember.
Boomer, they disrespected you on Friday. They were Jerry was in your chair getting all nice and comfy with the jersey, and Porzingis went nuts over the weekend.
Jerry wore a Porzingis jersey on Friday?
In your seat, Boomer, in your seat.
That is totally disrespectful, Al. Where is that jersey now?
Yeah, that's
a good question. Jerry had it on.
I want that jersey. I'm putting it in the freezer tonight. I want that jersey out. You better get me that jersey.
You got it. Let me go talk to Jerry Recco.
This is crap that he put his jersey on. Look at this. All right, so I wish I could say that I would have seen this.
Yeah.
But I was teeing off in the Joe Burrow Golf Foundation tournament.
That's right.
Very early on Friday morning.
All right, so yeah,
so
you missed
it. I did not
it.
See any of this.
Yeah, well, Jerry at first was adamant about not putting it on. And then I said, well, it's probably a good thing you're not going to put it on, because if Boomer puts on CBS Sports Network in Cincinnati and sees you sitting in his chair with a Porzingis jersey, he's not going to be happy. And then Jerry goes, give me the jersey.
That is very disappointing. Where is that jersey? What did he say?
Jerry said, tell him I sold it.
He did not sell it. Where is it?
He does have it.
He does have
it. Yeah.
Is it here in the building?
It is in the building.
All right. I want that jersey. That jersey was my jersey.
It was sent to
put in the freezer. And you see what happened? Porzingis all of a sudden started feeling better on Saturday. And look at the effect he had.
All right. Well, let's see if we can control it the opposite way. And get that jersey in the freezer.
So that jersey's going in the freezer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was finally here on Friday. Took a while, our mail room.
Right next to my Häagen-Dazs ice cream.
Oh, you know, we were just talking about Häagen-Dazs yesterday.
You were?
What's your favorite Häagen-Dazs flavor?
Oh, vanilla.
Yeah.
100% vanilla.
I'm going to shock you with this one. You know what I love? Rum raisin.
Yeah, I could see that.
Häagen-Dazs rum raisin.
I could definitely see that.
There's something about that, man. It's just the best. And I was in West Hampton yesterday, and they used to have a Häagen-Dazs
store there.
Yeah, but it switched hands, and I was thinking, I don't know, it's just
some
Frankie's ice cream or something, which is fine. It's great. Good for them, local business.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about the rum raisin the whole time. I was like, I'm going to stop at that Häagen-Dazs, get the rum raisin. It wasn't there.
How many, by the way, real quickly, how many steakhouses you think there are in the five boroughs?
Oh, my God. I have no idea. I mean, hundreds and hundreds.
Yeah. So there was one steakhouse that was a top 10 steakhouse in the world, voted a top 10 steakhouse in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I had never heard of the steakhouse.
Really?
Yeah. Cote, C-O-T-E. It's like a mix between an American and Korean steakhouse.
Okay.
I think it's in Midtown. And it was ranked 10th in the world in terms of steakhouses.
Is that where we're going night before kickoff to summer? But Al's going to pick up the bill?
No, well, we'd have to come back to Manhattan to do that.
Well, it'd be perfect for everybody. Nice and convenient.
I was reading about this yesterday. I was like, wow, I didn't even know that.
All right, I got to check that out.
Well, I don't think we can. I think we. You remember we went to Fort Charles?
Yeah.
Remember how hard it was to get in there?
It was very hard, yes.
We sat outside in a caboose.
Yeah, with Courtney Cox from Friends.
Exactly.
We even put her out there at the street. You know, I was shocked.
What do you mean? I mean, I like sitting out there.
Yeah, it was nice. But still, I thought, yes, it was nice. It was the nicest thing.
When Gordon Cox came out there, it was even better.
Yeah, certainly. But I got what's the prime rib they're known for, right? We got the prime rib.
Yeah.
But I see on Instagram that burger that they have, and I'm regretting now not getting that burger. Like, that's the thing. And then all the Yankees were asked, what's your favorite meal in New York City? Like, oh, I got the burger from Fort Charles. I'm like, oh, I blew it. So I'm never going to be able to go back there.
You did blow it, yes.
But I thought the thing you were supposed to do was get the prime rib. Now, the prime rib was great.
Yes, yeah.
But I wanted to.
It's one of those very, it's like a New York institution.
You got to do it. Right. Okay, well, let's go.
Anyway, so Coat, this Korean steakhouse barbecue thing, we got to go check it out.
Lunch today?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I got a doctor's appointment today.
Oh, do you? Yeah. Okay, well, good luck.
Thank you.
Do you say good luck for a doctor's appointment?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's, yeah.
Sure. When you reach a certain age, there's a good luck component to it?
Yes.